When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gigantic. Hey, it's the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, I believe they refer to it as. Welcome to Gigantic Pop. We're a credible news outlet, not like those other sources that get cited at WWE press conferences. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Raj Giri. Raj, it's been a while. I've been traveling. You were traveling. You were here and I didn't even see you.
I know. Yeah. The weekend just flew by. It was a buddy of mine's, his 50th birthday was back in January, and we had a group of friends and we were trying to find a weekend that worked to go to Vegas. And you know, months later, we were finally able to find one. So yeah, it was a quick trip, two nights, and took a few days to recover. I don't think I could do Vegas again, at least not without like the family.
Yeah, we went out last night. We went and saw Duran Duran, and we went to dinner before. But then after, like, we're out. Should we stay out? Should we go do something else? Then today, I just woke up, and I just felt like I got hit by a truck. And I didn't even drink last night.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just being
around.
You
didn't drink at the Duran Duran concert, huh?
No, my new thing is I've become that guy where when I go to a restaurant, I'm like, ooh, they have non-alcoholic cocktails. Yeah. Like, I'll order something off there.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know, pay $12 for a lemonade with pineapple juice and serrano pepper. But no, there were some people boozed up at Duran Duran. This was crazy. They played at the Wynn Encore, which was a small, like, 1,000-seat venue. They normally play arenas. So we got, like, cheaper seats, but it was fun, dude. It was all, like, people our age and older, just reliving the 80s. But it was a good time.
I love Duran Duran, so she could have made it.
Yeah, they do their cover of White Lines. You know, they can't play the Reflex live, but they need to play their cover of White Lines.
So, why can't they do the Reflex?
I don't know why they didn't do the Reflex. It was like the one where I was like, they didn't play that. They didn't play Is There Something I Should Know. They didn't play Union of the Snake. They played everything else you'd expect.
I remember we saw Madonna in concert. This was probably like 10 years ago. It was actually the first concert we went to after my second daughter was born. We went with some friends. And so already, you know, we have a hard time staying up because second daughter just born, getting no sleep. And we get there and Madonna's like 3 hours late.
Wow.
So at least 2 hours late. So it doesn't start until 10. And then when she comes out, she just starts doing her new stuff. Because at first we're like pumped. We're like, yeah, Madonna. And then she comes out and starts singing a song that no one knew. Everyone just sat down. And then it was just new song. And we left before we got to hear any of her good stuff.
Wow. If I go see Madonna and I don't hear Like a Prayer.
No, it was like Bon Jovi. We saw Bon Jovi and it was mostly stuff, their new stuff. And even Living on a Prayer, they were doing that whole, it's so annoying when they do the encore act where they're acting like they're going to leave and you know they're not, because they hadn't done Living on a Prayer yet. Living on a Prayer was the encore. So you had to stick to the very end. Anyway,
champagne problems. Yeah, I know, right? Stay tuned. Raj and I are going to go through the 100 most disappointing concerts we've ever seen. No, and people are going to be like, you paid money for that? No. Hey, everybody. So it's been a bit since I've been here. We're going to talk about Backlash. We're going to talk about WWE releases. We'll talk a little about Triple H's saltiness at that last question yesterday at the press conference. Matt Morgan can't be here this afternoon due to a family issue. Matt, we hope everything's going okay. And we're getting back in the rhythm, folks. We're getting back in the swing of things post-WrestleMania. Although WWE, you could kind of say the same thing. Post-WrestleMania, haven't really been in the rhythm of things.
It's been a little low, yeah, for sure. But you know, that's it. They do that every year, and I always feel like it's a mistake because. And you know what? Actually, last year they didn't really do it because they really did have the bloodline split going on. They had Cody and Brock, so
yeah,
they didn't really take the summer off last year. But so many times they take the first couple months off after WrestleMania, basically until the SummerSlam build starts, you know, starts brewing up. And this year, you know, a lot of it is out of their hands. Is, you know, Seth Rollins is injured, CM Punk is injured, Drew McIntyre's got the elbow injury, Roman Reigns is out, The Rock's gone for a while, so it's kind of all on Cody right now.
Yeah. Which is crazy because I would like to meet the person that thought AJ Styles had a chance of winning that championship match yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was more just to have a good match for Cody's first title defense and get his, you know, title reign off on the right foot in that direction instead of having a snoozer or something like that. But I do think because so many people are injured, you need something hot. They haven't really had anything hot since the post WrestleMania Raw. So it's almost like at some point you got to pivot. I'm not saying you do AJ Styles versus Randy Orton now, but maybe you start that. Like this could have been an AJ Styles, Randy Orton tag match against Logan Paul and someone else. And Randy Orton turns on Cody at the end. And that starts a summer long build up until SummerSlam, you know, something that is really engaging because I just feel like they have had so much momentum that you don't to let that subside.
I mean, that crowd in France was so hot last night.
I guess the crowds I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that you had to involve Cody as champ, but like LA Knight versus Logan Paul for the US Championship could have main evented that pay-per-view and people would have gone.
Oh yeah.
Just as
and most expensive, arena WWE show ever. I mean, they set the record. It was the largest arena gate in history. So obviously that's not counting stadium shows, WrestleMania, stuff like that. But as far as arena shows, think about all the ones they've done. Attitude Era. And granted, it's not fair to compare Attitude Era to now because tickets are so much more expensive. It's a much more streamlined business now. But drawing their largest gate ever for an arena show. The previous record was 3.3 million for Money in the Bank last year. So this was over 3.3 million for 11,000 people, you know, 11.5. So
it's an average ticket price, like 300 US.
Yeah. Yeah.
Average ticket price.
Average. Yeah. So ringside must have been just insane.
Yeah. No, it was really.
And this
really
isn't even Paris. This is Lyon.
I know. Like 3 hours by train. But no, it was a hot show. There was a lot good. I mean, Bianca and Jade versus Kari and Asuka was incredible. The problem is there are no, like, these are the top two women's tag teams in all of professional wrestling. If you just look at dominance, pedigree, performance, all of it, right? Visual. Where do Jade and Bianca go from here to have credible matches?
I'm almost like you don't need credible matches. Make them the Road Warriors of this modern era, you know? Have them squash everyone. And then once we're getting to Mania season at the Rumble or something, you know, Jade turns on Bianca or the other way around. And then
that's Mania match.
If done right, that could be a WrestleMania main event. If Jade is able to progress and... you know, that could be one of the nights, you know, if it's done right. I mean, they both, just watching them as a tag team, that's what I kept thinking, like modern day Road Warriors. They just look amazing, super athletes, they're jacked. It's just super impressive tag team. And, you know, obviously Jade's still green. There were a couple spots in the match where things kind of got off, you know, like the ref was lost at one point.
Yeah, I still don't know who the legal person was. I don't know if they pinned the legal woman.
Yeah, and I think Jade probably had a hard time immediately getting back, you know, into the rhythm when that happened. But, you know, she's still green. This was the longest match she's ever been a part of. So,
yeah.
Just keep doing it, just keep working the house shows and she's getting there. She looked I thought she looked, you know, for her experience level, for how many competitive matches she's had, I thought she looked really good.
No, it was good. And then we got a new member of the Bloodline. Tonga Loa showed up yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Tonga Loa, apparently he signed at the same time as Tama Tonga, Gorillas of Destiny, both sons of Haku. Tama Tonga. In the long run, there's more upside with Tama Tonga. Tongaloa, you know, he adds to the dish. I don't see him main eventing pay-per-views or anything like that. But
And Jacob Fatu is still waiting in the wings.
Jacob Fatu. Now him, I could see main eventing pay-per-views, so or PLEs. So
I wonder. Yeah,
there's a lot. You know, when Paul Heyman last year said we're not, what did he say? We're not even at the bottom of the third, and he might not have been lying.
Yeah. The Bloodline Wolfpack is. It's going to be interesting to see if this takes with the audience. I almost wonder if they're slow rolling Jacob Fatu for that reason, because like if this doesn't catch fire, Jacob could be a singles guy. He could do his own thing. He doesn't need to join this.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's going to join because right now you basically have the Usos on the other side, on the babyface side, right?
Yeah.
Now Jimmy Uso got booted out, so he's not going back with them, I wouldn't think. I think that'd be bad storytelling if he did. Yeah. Roman Reigns, you got to presume, is probably going to be on the babyface side. So it's Roman Reigns and the Usos, and then Tonga, Tama, and Solo Sikoa. I don't know if you get, you know, with The Rock is scheduled. There's no way The Rock is doing a War Games match or anything like that.
No.
But if you have The Rock on that side, you need one more on the babyface side. Jacob Fatu, you know, fits that bill.
I mean, I hate to say it because he's definitely beyond that in terms of experience. Although I guess he's not as experienced as Tama and Tonga. But I would say Jacob in NXT would instantly be in the main event scene.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think he needs it. He's already,
I know,
you know, he's already so good. He's super impressive. He can figure out where the hard cam is and everything.
Oh, I know.
This isn't Vince's WWE, so.
No, I saw him, I think it was Jack Perry's last indie show, right after Double or Nothing. I saw Jacob Fatu and King Fatboy Papa Esco just like tear it up at a rec center in Daly City. Yeah. Like, and Jacob, I mean, he's just, when you guys see him, if you've not seen Jacob Fatu, when you see his physical presence, this he's a Hulk of a guy.
Yeah. I remember MLW for the longest time. We wanted to, you know, I've talked to Jacob Fatu in the past, but never for an interview on the site. Mm-hmm. And they protected that gimmick for a while. And then finally, you know, before I left, you know, they were allowing interviews with him. But he's super impressive dude. And can't wait to see him. Peter Bahi bringing up
Yes,
Tongaloa's old gimmick, welcome home, Camacho. So, yeah,
he lost to Adam Rose on an NXT takeover.
Yeah.
How's Adam Rose doing? I know he retired a few years ago.
He got super jacked. I remember that, but that's about it. Veggie Gamer bringing up that there was a heck of a lot of confusion during the tag match, but still great. And I think, you know, again, every match, this crowd, one of the hottest crowds you'll ever see, probably the hottest crowd I've ever seen for a wrestling event. It's not like they were reacting to everything in the match. Like,
no.
A lot of it was them just partying and having a good time and doing their own chants, but
it was a bit much.
I enjoyed it. Like, I love it. Stuff like that.
But there was a time where I was just like, this is just now distracting me. And the talent was confused, especially during SmackDown, like where it was just like, what is going on? You know?
Yeah. Are they chanting for us? Are they?
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I love stuff like that, especially when if it was every week. Yes, I could see that getting annoying. I mean, not loud crowds, but when they're chanting stuff that doesn't have anything to do with the match.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
And Jey Uso's entrance last night. Oh, my God.
I hope that becomes a thing, you know?
Yeah.
With the camera phones, you know, just bouncing him up and down during the entrance. So we'll see what happens Monday, because if they do it there, you've started a trend.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, I think last night it was kind of predictable, everything that happened.
It was. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I think very few people didn't think any of those results were going to happen. I do think Jey Uso is close to being on that Drew Seth Rollins level. If he would win the world title, I think he'd get there. And while I think Damian Priest is a ways away, and I don't know if Damian gets there. I hope so. He's super talented, but he needs some work on the mic. He needs some work to really, during his promos, like, demonstrate a range of emotions. And so we'll see if he gets there. But Jay is almost there. He could have used that world title win, but you knew Damian was going to win. And you've got to think it's him and Drew at Clash.
Yeah, we'll see. So after that press conference was pretty paint by numbers. And then Triple H was in a good mood because they were going to announce the Mania location, which we'll talk about in a moment. But then he says one more question, and someone asks about Drew Gulak's release, and was it in response to what Ronda Rousey said about Gulak's behavior? Read the details. I don't remember all of it, but Ronda said it was like a very sexist, almost hazing like thing, and Drew said it was like,
he pulled at her drawstring on her.
Yeah, but Drew he gave like a Larry David explanation of, oh, I went to shake her hand, and then my hand caught the drawstring. And I profusely apologized. And it's just like, okay. So
the whole thing's bizarre. The whole thing is bizarre.
And I definitely believe, you know, what Ronda said and her interpretation of it. Drew making that statement, he was clearly trying to do damage control. It seemed that it made perhaps the situation worse. But then he got, as Triple H pointed out, he wasn't released. His contract is not being renewed. But then Fightful comes out with a story yesterday in light of this, which was crazy. So Triple H is like, oh, PW Insider and Fightful reported this. Get better sources, or cite better sources, throwing shade at them, which is funny because, I mean, Fightful is pretty good. I mean, PW Insider
is one of the over time. They've been the best over a long period of time.
Yeah. So Triple H was clearly annoyed because, you know, he just tries to focus on the positive people. And if you give him anything, it's not positive. It's just he can't process it. He's like, it's like a gluten intolerance. So Fightful comes out with these receipts last night about the Drew Gulak situation and talent in NXT saying he's a bully. He's purposely like targeting people's injuries. He's intimidating people into not reporting his bad behavior in the ring. And it was like, oh my, I mean, again, this is all alleged, but, you know, again, Fightful is a news outlet that double and triple sources things. So it was just kind of like, oh my God, this is actually like, there's way more to this than just the Ronda Drew exchange.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like it was a good firing. You know, it sounded like non-renewal. A lot of people non-renewal. Which is kind of the same thing. You know, I feel like it sounded like he had it coming. You know, obviously, as soon as the Ronda Rousey thing happened, he was removed from TV. So you can't deny that had something to do with something, whether they were just going to keep him under contract, not release him, whatever, or not renew it. But it clearly had an effect because he was removed from TV right when that happened. And we'll see what happens. But the stories that have come out since, and man, Cody Rhodes back in the day ripped Drew Gulak. You know, he called him a prick. And
Because Cody brought pizza for an indie show that they were both on. And Drew said, like, you're going to affect merch sales. I don't know how those two things correlate directly. They had some heat. At an indie show. I mean, look, what's crazy about this is that Drew Gulak was one of those guys, like in the video game, was doing prep for guys returning, getting back into the ring. Like, it seemed like he was well regarded, but yeah, these stories coming out, the Performance Center has not, you know, it seems like every couple of years there's a story about someone at the Performance Center. I mean, going back to like Bill DeMott, where people are like, oh, this is a toxic environment. Like, somebody is clearly, you know, being hazing people, for lack of a better term, you know? So I don't know, but the Fightful story that came out was very surprising.
So here's kind of what I think about that. I feel like Triple H, I don't think, is keeping a log of what news is reported and who is reporting it. Right.
Yeah.
And I think when that journalist that asked the question, that journalist screwed up, or I don't even know if journalist, whoever asked that question, lump PW Insider and Fightful together and lump Ronda Rousey in with the release. And so I think it just, Triple H took that at face value. Like, it came from Fightful and PW Insider and probably got a little pissed and reacted you know, like in a kind of a bullshit way, but I think he's going by the information that was presented at the time. Now, look, how many of these sports executives and stuff have issues with the media? And so it just happens. And I think Triple H was a little out of line, but again, I don't think he knows who reported what, because the actual report was PW Insider. I don't think they mentioned anything with Rousey when they said that Drew Gulak was released. Now, apparently that wasn't the case. Drew Gulak is actually still with WWE, technically. He's still under WWE contract, but they're not renewing it. I think it's up in the next month. And so he probably just got annoyed with that question and, you know, this other stuff that came out, and maybe there's more to Drew getting released or not getting renewed than just the Rousey stuff. And he reacted, you know, kind of in a hot-headed fashion. But I like PW Insider's response. They said, thoughts on what Triple H said today. I don't have any. Whatever he meant, it doesn't change the fact that I think he is doing a great job and that Backlash was an amazing PLE. Children take things personally. We will continue being fair and honest. And, you know, I thought it was a good response. Now, they were the ones that technically didn't get the story all the way right. But, hey, you know, that's no one gets everything 100% right. And they're moving on. So,
and I think that, it was just a weird moment he could have just said, we can't comment on personnel, talent matters. Yeah, I mean, he could have given a really good non-answer on that, but no, he thought he was being cute with the cite better sources thing.
I mean, that was news, though. News that he actually was not released, that they're just not renewing his contract. So,
and the NFL releases 500 people a season. So why?
They do. Story?
I know.
You know, when people get upset over releases, I could see one thing like, you know, feeling like you should, obligate your end of a contract. But all these sports leagues, you bring in a ton of people at the beginning, you know, in the preseason, try them out, and then you cut the ones that can't hang, or the ones that aren't performing, or the ones that aren't moving numbers. That's just how business works.
Well, but I think it's wrestling is a bit different, because it's like, imagine if you're reading a comic book. And it's like in the next issue, it's like, oh, Wolverine's not here. Yeah, we couldn't come to terms on a contract, so no more Wolverine in the X-Men. It's different with wrestling than it is with sports, because these are characters on TV. And as a kid,
but if they don't get over, then I know. You just keep them forever.
But Drew with the PowerPoint presentation, say what you will about everything else, the PowerPoint presentation.
Drew never got over on the main roster.
He never. Before Enzo joined 205 Live, Drew Gulak was the most entertaining thing about 205.
You can say it was the most entertaining, but he wasn't moving numbers. It wasn't like people are like, oh, shit, Drew Gulak's on tonight? I got to make sure to catch that segment.
The Microsoft Office and WWE overlap is a very small Venn diagram, but it exists.
He got a kick out of it, but it wasn't a...
I know. But I think that... it's tough, though, because these are people we see on TV week in and week out. These are storylines we like. Think about it as a kid. We've talked about this before. Like, you're watching Dukes of Hazzard, and it's like, who the F are Coy and Vance? Like, you couldn't come to terms with Tom Wopat and John Schneider on a contract? So now we got to deal with these bootleg Dukes for a season? You know? They should do that in wrestling, though. More of that. More replacement characters. Where it's like...
they find that.
Yeah,
fake Diesel and fake Razor, and that didn't go over well.
No, I know. But let's talk about Mania. We got a super chat, and reminder: all super chats in Q2 being donated to Culture City, a nonprofit for the neurodivergent with a sensory overstimulation. T Smitty 3000, $5 super chat, saying WrestleMania 41 party at Chateau Rubenstein. Jade reminds me of Diesel and Bianca HBK. That pairing brought Diesel along. All Jade needs is more reps. Jade's wonderful, man.
Yeah, it's more like Diesel and Razor, because they're both like super, super impressive physically. And I think it's a great pairing. And again, it leads to a natural storyline once that breakup happens. And I've got to think Triple H has that in the back of his mind to getting to that match eventually. Because you saw the reaction they got in the Royal Rumble when it was down to the two at that one point. So I think that's going to be a money match when it happens.
Yeah, so WrestleMania is going to be April 19th and 20th, Easter Sunday, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, WrestleMania, Vegas apparently wanted that weekend. Again, these cities are paying for WrestleMania. Before this, it was rumored that Minneapolis would get it. There was, let me actually bring up that quote 1 second. But, you know, they said, Minneapolis basically said that they didn't get it because of a change in management. Obviously, that's Nick Khan. This is Nick Khan's first choice for WrestleMania. Vegas makes all the sense in the world. Entertainment capital of
sports
the world.
Sports capital as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's crazy that they just recently got their first, you know, NFL team with the Raiders. And so it's
we got baseball.
It's a huge deal.
We got the WNBA. We got a professional women's volleyball team. We got soccer. We got lacrosse.
Yeah.
Like,
and as far as cities for WrestleMania, the ones with the most upside, as far as bringing in new executives, bringing in partners, things like that, it's LA, Vegas, and New York. So first WrestleMania in Vegas in a stadium. The last one was WrestleMania 9, which was in a parking lot, basically, which one of the worst WrestleManias of all time.
Yeah.
And this one, it's going to be done right.
Yeah.
420 in Vegas.
Yeah. It's okay. So here's the deal. They say there are dispensaries on the strip. The ones on the strip aren't actual dispensaries. They do not have THC. You got to go off the strip for the real stuff. I just feel, you know, that comes up on Reddit a lot. That's like the biggest Vegas scam.
Yeah.
Not girls delivered direct to your hotel room. Not, do you want to go in the champagne room? No, it's buying THC on the strip. It's all CBD stuff.
Yeah. We've done that before.
Yeah. I, you know what I realized 1 week, I don't really partake in the devil's lettuce that often, but, not only is there a dispensary like 5 minutes from my house, but then one day I was like, oh, I can just get this delivered. And I was like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to leave the house. I can do that and then schedule the DoorDash for an hour later and I'm golden. I could just sit at home, you know?
And it's the real stuff? Like, it's not the non-THC?
No, it is the real stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good times, man. Hmm. But no, I think here's part of the reason we moved to Vegas, aside from the fact there's no state income tax and the square footage was worlds cheaper than Northern California. Yeah, yeah. But it's the easiest city to travel to. And everybody we know comes to Vegas at least once every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Everybody, either you're here for a conference, you're here for a you know, a vacation, like it's the you're here for with a group of friends and you don't call your co-host of 8 years to hang out. Vegas is a very easy town to travel to and everybody comes here. And we like it because we live 25 minutes from the strip, so when we do want to go and partake, it's great. And then when we want to sit at home and do nothing with our cats, we can do that. But no, for business, the challenge though is, and I would tell everybody this, it's going to come to Mania, book your hotels early, look for deals. Park MGM is the closest. This is a secret. Park MGM is the closest, right across the street from T-Mobile and Allegiant.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Easiest one to get there. There are other ones in the area, but get that locked down now because it's going to be insane. And in fact, to that end, Raj, we've promised this for years. Me, you, and Matt are going to have to get a venue. We're going to have to call like a bar or something and say like, hey, can we do a meetup or something? We're going to have to do a get-together.
Would love it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Do you think WWE books the Sphere for something that weekend? Raw and SmackDown. I mean, it's super expensive.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You're not going to be making money booking the Sphere, but if you did all the shows, you did NXT, Raw, SmackDown.
It's not. Have you looked at the video from there for concerts? It's cool, although I think I'll get motion sick and barf. But UFC is running something there, I heard.
Are they?
I think so.
Huh.
Look it up. But no, I think for the spectacle, I'm sure WWE will do a press conference.
I mean,
or something.
Oh yeah, UFC 306.
Yeah,
306.
Yeah, it's in September. So there you go.
Oh, so WWE is definitely going to be doing something at the Sphere sooner than later if UFC is already there. So
it's just, I don't think it's that
September 14th.
Yeah, I just don't think it's that well set up for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's not in the round, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm concerned about NXT Battleground at the UFC Apex, which is weird. Like, you have to pre-register for tickets, and then you have to like put down a non-refundable deposit to get the early access tickets for the Apex. So I'll be curious to see if they do something there with Mania Weekend. You know, if Battleground goes well at the Apex, this is a separate topic. I could see a future where NXT splits developmental and does something, because Vegas and Florida are in, Vegas and Orlando in a weird way are very symbiotic to one another. I mean, very linked. I could see them doing something out here as well with a performance center. So I'm curious how Battleground's going to go. But I think, look, it was very clear to everyone. You could feel it in the air at that WrestleMania press conference. That it's just like, with the way Vegas is now, WWE should have a presence here. And in fact, I think if this goes well, we could be close, the closest possible to having that physical Hall of Fame location.
Possibly. Because, you know, like from a business sense, the only thing that's really beneficial for TKO is the branding, you know, because NXT makes way more money doing this in an actual arena, doing these PLEs. So,
yeah,
by doing it, you know, at the Apex, gosh, it's what, a couple hundred people max?
I think it's like 500 people. And I think they're lobbying to try and get some fire marshal clearance to increase the attendance for that.
But even if you increase it, you're not talking thousands of people. You're talking maybe 600.
So I'm stoked that NXT, my favorite show in all of television, is coming to Las Vegas. But I have no clue what this is going to look like. I don't know what media access is going to look like. I know Issa's flying out here for it. We're going to hang and go and try maybe get some interviews or some hang time with some of the talent that we cover week in and week out. But yeah, it's there. So I've learned something about living in Vegas. It's that, like, you have the tourist effect, that you have tourists here, but locals are fierce about supporting. Like, if they had NXT here, it would be the same way it would be in the Florida loop. You know what I mean? If they taped NXT TV here, you would absolutely get a crowd. Professional women's volleyball, which I've been to the games, the Vegas Go Thrill, like, those games are well attended. Like, people support local events and teams and sports.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing weekly TV, that's one thing, but for a PLE, it just seems like they're giving up a gate this time around for whatever
branding
they're doing.
Expensive, though. No, I mean, these are going to be like $500 tickets, it seems like.
For NXT? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Even me, I saw the thing to like put down the deposit for the premium thing, and I was like, I'll just join the general list and see if I can get media tickets. And I'm the biggest NXT fan. And that's the other thing. The Apex is apparently terrible.
Jonathan Lyman Brand saying the Apex is terrible. I mean, when I see a UFC, and if I put on a fight night or something, as soon as I see the Apex, I'm turning it off. I just know it's, you know, small potatoes. It's not a big show. And so I kind of, in my brain, I already have that switch that when they're at the Apex to stop watching. But
I wonder if we could do our meetup instead of a bar. We're going to talk about this with the community. We got a year to plan this, but I'm like, let's find not a strip property, a Vegas strip property. Like, can we get it like can we do like a cabana, like an outdoor? Cause it'll be April. April's perfect weather in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, we'll do outdoor, like, we'll get like cabanas and stuff, and maybe we'll do like a fun thing. I don't know. Figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good times.
These other super chats.
Yeah. We got other super chats. What do we got?
Peter Bahi, $2 super chat. Our good friend Peter Bahi saying, do you think WWE would be interested in Ethan Page? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think he's got the personality. Size is not as big of an issue anymore. I think he's, you know, size wise, he's probably like Carmelo Hayes's size, right?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, if I'm an AEW talent, I'm thinking going to WWE looks pretty darn good right now. Between Jade, Pillman Jr.
Maybe not Sean Spears, but
but isn't he already doing doing coaching matches? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Behind the scenes.
Like Robert Stone. Robert Stone got moved or now is doing producing, segment producing and as well.
I mean, Robert Stone's been there forever. So it's kind of like he's either going up to the main roster or he's going to get a job behind the scenes. And it looks like the job behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Stellar Justin Lopez with $4.99 super chat. Good friend, Stellar. Thank you. Will WrestleMania's presence in Vegas next year impact Double or Nothing's Vegas event next year? Tony is so big on tradition that I think they're still going to do it. But I mean, as you're seeing with the attendance right now, they've sold, 5,700 tickets so far. It's not bad, especially for what they've been doing, but it's a pay-per-view. Back in the day, they would, sell those out immediately or really quickly. Honestly, so you're seeing the diminishing returns every year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, let me cut you off, but this is the impact of not having StarCast. Like, shout out to Conrad.
Having StarCast.
No, but think about this, Raj.
It's all their places that they're repeating.
I know. But StarCast made it a vacation. It gave you stuff to do in a community. I guarantee you StarCast was good for probably another 1,000 to 3,000 tickets because it changed the value prop of traveling for Double or Nothing.
Well, not the second year, obviously, because you had COVID. But, yeah. I mean, these were selling out instantly. And I don't think
it helps.
StarCast is a cool add-on for sure. But the attendance woes go, deeper than that for these shows. I do think it's going to, I think regardless of if WrestleMania was going to be in Vegas or not anyway, it was going to be down next year. It's not going to be as big as this year and the year before, but I don't think it helps, but I don't think Tony Khan will move it. I think they're still going to do Vegas for Double or Nothing.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, look, he won't move All Out from the week after All In, and that is just a terrible business move. You're giving up so many buys just to stick with tradition. By doing
it's weird
having to do it that Labor Day weekend.
So Double or Nothing this year, Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be curious to see what Double or Nothing is going to be Sunday still, right?
Sunday, May 26th.
So Collision is going up against Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark in town against the Aces, mm-hmm. which they had to move to T-Mobile Arena because of the ticket demand for that show. Mm-hmm. So it'll be very interesting to see what that Saturday does. If they do, because they're doing Collision Live, I assume.
Yeah, but Collision already is, their numbers have not been strong. So,
yeah.
Real quick, T-Smitty 3000 saying Tony Khan has to stop doing pay-per-views in the same cities. I kind of agree. I feel like there's a lot of other cities that I feel like getting a pay-per-view will probably boost attendance as opposed to just sticking with the same cities because of tradition. So I do kind of agree with that.
Mike Rouse, I guess I can announce this. Tuesday, we're gonna try and start doing this, Mike. On Issa's channel on NYC Demon Diva, on Tuesdays, we're gonna pregame NXT. Before NXT, we're gonna do something together. And then we're figuring out more ways to keep working together in the future. Stay tuned. I missed you and Matt. Like Matt and I did some stuff. We did something we haven't released yet. I need to edit it. We have Matt talking. I don't want to spoil it because I don't want to give Maven word. If I talk about this video Matt did, Maven's going to rush a video out to beat Matt. But we got a good one. Yeah.
We'll keep it under wraps.
Maven, we see you and we see what you're doing, Maven. We see you.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And the three of us, man, it's been a few weeks, and I think since WrestleMania. So hopefully this week. And that's another thing we're trying to get a set time. So right now it's looking like Fridays at 7, right before SmackDown, 7 Eastern, 1 hour before SmackDown. I think this week you can't do it, Glenn.
I can't do it.
Me and Matt will. And just one, that day a week is set. We'll do that every week. And then also throughout the week, we're going to keep doing the breaking news, you know, whenever
something happens.
Speaking of which.
Yeah, please.
Some big re-signings and some big releases.
Yes.
We talked about Drew Gulak, but Gable Steveson was released.
I mean, is it really surprising he didn't? I think that was a weird flex they were trying to do when they signed him. He never really got used well, never got over with the crowd. His brother
is kind of a dick backstage. Yeah. He was their biggest rookie signing, you know, because of his amateur background. Uh-huh. They were hoping he'd be the next Brock Lesnar. He didn't take to pro wrestling like Brock Lesnar did, obviously. And so, yeah, he's gone. He's out of there. And, you know, we mentioned Drew Gulak. There were a bunch of other NXT releases. Again, NXT is developmental. That's what it's there for. You bring in a bunch of people, see who works out, the ones that don't work out. Hopefully, you know, you never like to see people lose their jobs, but hopefully they can keep working on their craft and come up if wrestling is really what they want to do, and it's not over for them. It's just a fork in the road. And then also Seth Rollins re-signing. So the WWE director of talent relations was let go last month, and since then, within weeks, they've re-signed Finn Balor, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins. And it's no coincidence. I feel like I've heard several people say to me personally, like, that guy wasn't really great at his job. And now you're seeing it like in rapid succession. So as far as contracts coming up, we got Becky Lynch this summer still. You've got to think she's going to resign. But there are no guarantees, but you got to think she's resigning. And then later this year, you got Sheamus and... you also got Kevin Owens.
Let me just put this over for a second. I'm 3/4 of the way through Becky Lynch's autobiography. I'm listening to the audiobook of it, and it's really good, dude. Like, I mean, her personal story is good. There's stuff I didn't know in there. Some interesting backstage news. But one of my favorite parts, because... Raj, eight years in 2 months we've been doing this. By the way, I went back and rewatched part of our first episode the other night.
Oh, really?
Super weird.
That's what I do. It's very awkward.
When I watch, like, it's like it was with you and Bix, and it was just strange.
That's a weird combo, you mean Bix.
Super weird. But what's amazing, because we covered this all, is to hear, like, she goes through her entire career, NXT to the main roster, but then we get to the main roster, she's talking about, like, remember when she had that first title reign in SmackDown? Like, she's telling you the behind the scenes of everything that was going on with the booking, with creative, with the higher ups, with her own personal life at the time. And it's fascinating to hear, like, that detailed, like, easily an hour and a half's worth of direct commentary about specific matches, feuds, angles, and storylines.
I'll have to check
that out. Fascinating. It's just very good. I'm very, very impressed with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's going to resign. Listening to that book, like, there's no way her and Seth are leaving this company.
Yeah, I can't see it. And the fact that they put the title on her, I think, you know, like, they put the title on Drew for, you know, a few minutes at WrestleMania, but you're not doing that if you don't, and having him beat Cody on Raw a few months ago and all that, you're not doing all that unless you're very confident that they're resigning. I'm sure Becky, if she hasn't already resigned and they just have an announcement, I think it's just inevitable.
Absolutely. And she's great. Peter has a super chat. Raj.
Mm-hmm. Peter Bahi with the $5 super chat saying, are you guys going to look to add more personalities and content to grow the Gigantic Pop brand? We need a State of Gigantic Pop address. Man, we're having a hard time just getting the three of us on. So,
it's going to get better, I think.
Yeah. Right. So, we're still young. You know, we haven't even been doing this. I think we're at like 6 months now, maybe a little more. I mean, more than that, but maybe 8 months. So, but yeah, you know, we're still looking to see where this could go because, you know, we got to thank you guys. And again, please take a second, hit like, hit subscribe, hit that bell notification because we do so many of these episodes kind of on the fly last minute. So that way you don't miss anything.
Give people a little behind the scenes here. So I bought this house, and this is supposed to be my studio. This is where I'm broadcasting behind, like, this box fort here. So I bought this house with the idea that this 400-square-foot room was going to be my studio, and I need to get it done because the plan all along has been that I was going to invest more time in doing, like, content creation. Whether it's podcasting or videos. I mean, so what I want to do where you see that box pile, like my goal is to get like a couch and chair set up, and I actually want to get two TVs so I can have like Matt on one TV and Raj on another TV and have a wide shot with like everyone's avatars. Like I want to do more with this. It's just that my day business has been so busy and everything else that's been going on. And I'm also old and don't have the energy I used to have, but strides are going to be happening. Things are going to be happening soon because taking care of other house stuff, and this is next on the list, is getting the studio done.
Yeah. Terry Allen Jr. with the $2 super chat. Thank you, Terry. Does podcasting somewhat pay many bills? Not for us. All our profits are going to charity.
Yeah, we're giving it all to charity, man. For other people, I would say, okay, so my day job is we place ads on podcasts for brands. And I will tell you, I mean, I can't say who, but I will tell you that you can kind of get a good sense of audience, like if podcasting could be a living. Like if you look at the size of an audience, look at the number of views people have on YouTube, look at the number of comments, look at the number of ads they have per episode, and not the injected radio style ads, but if you look at the like ads that the hosts are reading, like listen to a podcast, and if the people that are hosting the podcast are doing the ads, if people have a decent sized audience and they're doing like 3 or 4 ads an episode, I can tell you that that's decent money, you know?
Probably 95% of podcasts don't make much money, I'd say.
No, I'd say 99.
Yeah. So you get to the top of the top. Yes, you get the Bill Simmons level or Joe Rogan. Yeah. But most podcasts don't make money.
But it's for the amount of work. I mean, my take on it is this. It's like if somebody wants to pay me $100 to and you know, I shouldn't say specifics. People have paid me $100 to read an ad before. If somebody's paid me $100 to read an ad and, you know, I get a free product that I think is cool and it's 60 seconds of my, my ad reads aren't 60 seconds. If it's 3 minutes of my time and it's fun and it's something that I could stand behind, like I'm in favor of that. And if I could do that times a few and times a few times a week, like, you could, you know, it's some nice extra money.
And for charity, you know, we're looking at a couple thousand bucks so far. So, it's something. So, and thank you guys again.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe. Let's see here. Lewis Treese, when are you guys discussing the AEW ratings? It's kind of a complicated topic because they have been stuck kind of oddly enough. Since the new signings with Okada, Will Ospreay, and Mercedes Moné, and again, it's not because of them, but they have gone from doing like a 0.29, 0.28 this year to now like they're in the 0.23, 0.24. You know, outside of that CM Punk backstage footage episode, they have just fallen quick, you know, in the last couple months. This last Sunday, I actually thought they were going to do, I didn't think they were going to do what they were going to do with that Punk episode, with the Punk footage episode, but I thought they'd get to like a 0.27, maybe like 750,000 viewers. But they did 703,000 viewers with a 0.24 18 to 49 demo rating. That viewer number is the second lowest in show history since NXT moved to Tuesday nights. You know, when NXT and Dynamite were head to head, Dynamite ratings were lower. And as soon as NXT moved, they shot up. And so the second lowest audience, and then the 0.24 18 to 49 demo rating is on the low, low end of what they've been doing since NXT moved. 0.23 is their lowest. They've hit 0.23 three of the last 6 weeks, and then 0.24, so slightly above the 0.23. But man, you know, they had, this is coming off the Tony Khan getting attacked angle, him wearing the neck brace on during the NFL draft, him making that Harvey Weinstein comment about WWE, all this stuff, plus Kenny Omega's return. I thought it was a bad rating, and I know people would be like, well, it's number six for the night, and it's still beating all the entertainment shows, but compare it to itself, what it normally does, it was a bad rating.
Yeah.
It's especially crazy, for what they had.
And it's weird,
and,
because
and their pay-per-view number was down, this last pay-per-view, a lot from the show before. Is the lowest pay-per-view number since, God, what was the one that they did with Edge's return? What was that one called? Dream? Wrestle Dream.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the lowest pay-per-view number they've done since then. Their attendance is way down. So I don't know what the answer is. And, you know, maybe just give it time with the Elite and Jack Perry and see if it builds and it starts to turn things around. But so far it hasn't been. And they threw everything in the kitchen sink this last Wednesday and it didn't work.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. I think when they were head-to-head with NXT, it was a small win, but it was still a win. And I think that was a better narrative. Yeah, but it's a better narrative.
They were beating it every week.
I know, yeah. But that was a better narrative with less numbers. You know?
And yeah, well, but they were doing good, yeah. Really good numbers when once NXT moved. I mean, they were in the 900,000s, you know, topping million, you know, here and there for the viewer, the audience. They were in the point three, you know, mid 0.3s, like 0.35, you know, that level. And, you know, sometimes getting up to a 0.40. And they're very far from that. I mean, they averaged, if you look at July 2021, so, you know, we're going back 3 years, they were doing 0.44, 0.45, 0.46, 3 weeks in a row. They hit a 0.48. Their ratings were high in the demo. Yeah. Well, and now they're doing a 0.24, like half of that.
It's Sega and Nintendo. Nintendo was stuffy and old and the same old, same old. And then Sega came along and it was edgy and new and exciting. And Sega was nice to the press, whereas Nintendo wasn't nice to the press. And everyone was like, oh my God, Sega's amazing. And then Nintendo started making really good games again after the SNES came out. And then Sega started making too many games and too many mid games. And, you know, Nintendo still makes hardware and Sega's a third-party publisher now. Like, yeah. This is the difference. It's
and hopefully they can turn it around, because the stronger two companies are, the better it is for the fans.
Yeah. So I think that why did our numbers just greatly shoot up when I was making that analogy? That's weird. No, I think that it's AEW has to figure out a long-term plan. WWE knows, for better or worse, how to weather the storm and how to they know that it's a cyclical business. WWE has had boom times and they've had bust times before, and they've learned to take it all in stride. It's kind of like Disney. Disney, you could be like, oh, you know, this movie didn't do well, or Marvel, this thing didn't do well. It's like, look, they're all, Disney ain't going anywhere. Marvel's not going anywhere. The MCU isn't going anywhere. It'll evolve and flow and change, but it's like with AEW, they're figuring out how to settle into a rhythm of being a long-term company. And by the way, this is the make or break point for a lot of companies. It's like, how do you get past that 5-year mark?
Well, this is a super important year because the rights are coming up at the end of the year. And I think it's a positive is that NBC made a huge offer for the NBA, $2.5 billion over, like, I think it's 11 years each year. Which I cannot see WBD affording. They're like 44. They've got like $44 billion in debt. I cannot see them matching that offer. And if they lose the NBA, they won't want to lose AEW at the same time. Like basically their top rated show, top rated original outside the NBA on TBS. So I think they will try to keep it. I don't see other bidders coming in for AEW. Like big bids, when you look at what's out there that's not already tied in with WWE or has not shown interest for pro wrestling. So it's like, how much of an increase are you going to get? We saw NXT. NXT got a kind of a shitty TV deal when you kind of look at it. It was, depending on where you, you know, who you believe, Variety had the new deal pegged at like 20 million, 20 to 25 million. And I think it was Sports Business Journal pegged it, said more than double the current 15 million. So that put it at 30 million plus. And those kind of numbers, if you convert it to 5 hours for AEW, adding in Rampage, adding in Collision, and you take those three shows, you know, you got to weigh in Rampage because it's 1 hour versus two, but basically their ratings are similar to NXT. And if they get that kind of a deal, that's going to be a tough go if they get, you know, the kind of money that NXT got for their last TV deal with CW.
Yeah. Well, on a different note, did you go see The Fall Guy yet?
Well, actually, I got to go here soon because we're going to go see it right after this.
So good. So good. Everybody, yeah. Like, here's the thing with Fall Guy. Like, they made the perfect summer blockbuster. It came out in this weekend. And I don't know, did they start marketing it too early? I don't know why this movie isn't making $100 million this weekend. I just don't
think that's the kind of movie that works anymore. And it's too bad because I love movies like this. But now you need gorillas fighting each other, fighting dinosaurs. And, you know, it's tough to like break through with the audiences these days when there's so many different options.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not presenting something new, like Barbie did, Oppenheimer did last year, it's just a tough go.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Go see The Fall Guy. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
And Cobra Kai, three parts. It's coming on three parts.
Yeah. Ebony Washington, $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Saying, here's my charitable contribution. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much, Ebony, for your support.
Thank you, as always, Ebony.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. He's at the Raj Geary. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop. Take care. Have a great week. We'll see you here soon. Thanks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.